Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. The legal tampering has started, and I'm here with the man you can no longer tamper with. Ladies, that is Tyler Sullivan, who is now married. Tyler, before we go start anything here, how was the wedding? How was the honeymoon? And did my tampering reference make any sense?
That was good. No, I liked it. I didn't know where you were going for a second. No, everything was great. You know, happy to be back. Today was the first day back from the honeymoon. And no, it was fun. Great wedding. No issues. She said yes, so that's good. Yep. We were able to go on the honeymoon. Dublin, Rome. It was just an unreal trip. I ate and drank my way through Europe just as my ancestors intended me to.
What was your favorite part? And did you see anyone wearing any NFL jerseys or NFL gear?
I don't think I saw many NFL. I don't think I saw many NFL fans. Obviously, a lot of soccer. We went to a few sports bars, and there was a couple of it was like a New Orleans Saints bar. There was like a bunch of New Orleans Saints signs hanging around, but I didn't see any legit Saints fans. Of course, obviously it wasn't NFL Sunday, but I was able to go there. Outside of that, not a lot. I was trying, and you know what I did though, Breach? I did do my best. I did have a tour guide when we went through the Vatican, and I had him subscribe to the Pick Six podcast because he was very interested. So I was able to do my work on the European soil for us. So at least we have one loyal listener now in Italy.
Yeah, well, shout out to Sully's tour guide if he's listening. Next time I'm in the Vatican, I will have to give him a call, and he'd give me a tour.
He was very good.
Sully, I'm proud of you for showing up, coming straight off your honeymoon, as people notice. Brinson is not here, and my understanding is that gambling actually became legal in North Carolina today, and he has probably already gambled his podcast equipment away, which would explain why he is not here. This episode of the Pick Six is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We'd like to extend a warm welcome to the newest podcast in our CBS Sports family. It's that month in March where we know you are craving hoops, but maybe just not on the college level. Beyond the Arc is a brand new show featuring daily NBA discussions with hosts John Gonzalez, Bill Ryder, and Ashley Nicole Moss, as well as regular appearances from NBA champion Avery Johnson. Download and follow Beyond the Arc wherever you find this podcast. I will definitely be listening. I've been waiting for an NBA podcast. All right, so let's get to free agency. Look, it was supposed to start Wednesday. It does technically start Wednesday, but we all know it actually starts today, Monday, with the legal tampering period. We get 52 hours of fun before free agency technically even starts at 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. Teams have been allowed to negotiate with players since noon on Monday, and my God, they have been taking advantage of that, which gets us to our first topic. We're going to take a look at some of these major deals that have happened during the legal tampering period. Remember, the players can agree to terms on these deals, but they cannot sign them until 4 p.m. Wednesday. So someone could back out. We've seen that happen before. But I do not think it will happen with any of these guys that we are about to talk about, starting with your best friend, because you guys both shop at Kohl's, Kirk Cousins, who landed a four-year, $180 million deal from the Falcons, $100 million in guaranteed money. Do you like that, Sully? That's what I want to know. Do you like this move for the Falcons?
I do. I mean, we were going through the rundown before, obviously, all these things, you know, came to pass with the legal tampering window opening up, and we were discussing what should happen, what do we want to happen, and we'll get to it later. But my first one, I had to change it because it already happened, was Kirk Cousins going to the Atlanta Falcons. This team has been starving for a quarterback, just a competent quarterback, for these elite talents that they've been drafting in the first round, and Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson. From a fantasy standpoint, it was frustrating. If you're a Falcons fan, it was frustrating because they just couldn't tap into that talent because of the inabilities of their quarterback position. Now, you go all in with the number one player, the number one quarterback in this free agent cycle in Kirk Cousins. This immediately changes things overnight in the NFC South. I think they're now the favorites. I'm super excited to see how this offense is going to look with Bijan in year two. Maybe finally we get some production from Kyle Pitts. And the thing that's, I think, a little bit most underrated about this is that he's also upgrading his offensive line. The Falcons' offensive line is stellar. And so when you're putting all of this together, it makes all the sense in the world for Kirk Cousins to go to a team that has great offensive weapons, a better offensive line, and now you're in a division where you're the presumptive favorites, in my opinion. You should be going into the postseason, and if you're Kirk Cousins, the big rap on you has been lack of success in the postseason. This is your chance to get there and change that resume for yourself.
You know, I'm glad you said that this probably makes them the favorite, because my next question would be, do you think Kirk Cousins is head and shoulders the best quarterback in the NFC South? We have Baker Mayfield, we have Derek Carr, we have Bryce Young. But the twist here with Cousins is, remember, he is coming off a torn Achilles, and so we're not sure how he's going to rebound from that. Would you put Cousins today at the top of the list, or do you need to see him make a few throws in training camp?
Yeah, it's a great point to reference there. I mean, again, all things being equal, I would say yes, he is the best quarterback talent-wise in that division, but he is 35 years old, coming off a torn Achilles. We do have to see it to believe it, really. But ultimately, I do think that when healthy, and I think he will be healthy by the start of this season. Again, there could be some injury rust, but ultimately, it does feel like we're growing more towards the Achilles injury not being this devastating blow of a multiple-year return. I do think he'll be able to come and be somewhat of the Kirk Cousins that we're accustomed to in Minnesota over the last few years. And I think that that is going to be night and day for this Falcons team. Like I was saying earlier, I think he's going to be the best quarterback in that division. I think it should make them the favorites. If not, I haven't checked the betting odds recently, but I would be shocked if once these things are settled and finalized, they are not the favorites in that division. So I like this all around for them.
Yeah, and you keep mentioning how much of an upgrade this is at quarterback. Since Matt Ryan left, they've had Marcus Mariota start some games. They've had, obviously, Desmond Ridder. They had Taylor Heineke start a few games last season. So the quarterback spot has been all over the place for the Falcons. And really, the thing I like about this deal is that, look, Kirk Cousins, everywhere he's gone, he's been getting that fully guaranteed deal. But here, the Falcons, yes, they're going to pay him $100 million guaranteed. That is a ton of money, but they're only locked into him for two seasons. And then after that, it's kind of, all right, if he plays well, we keep him. If he doesn't, we'll let him hit free agency again. So it does kind of mitigate that risk factor that does come with, hey, look, Kirk gets out in the field, can't do a three-step drop because his Achilles is bothering him. Well, then you're in trouble. So this was a good move by Atlanta, and I guess even by Kirk, to finally say, you know what, I got my bad guys. I already have $300 million, whatever it is, in my pocket. I don't need $180 million fully guaranteed. I'll take $100 million. So I think this is a fantastic move, and I do agree with you. It does feel like the Falcons are the favorite now in the NFC South. Now, the Vikings suddenly do not have a genuine starting quarterback on their roster. They decided that, hey, look, Kirk was good, but he never reached that great level with us, which kind of describes his entire career. What do you do if you're Minnesota? If you're the general manager over there, who are you calling up right now? Who are you on the phone with? Who are you trying to get to Minnesota?
I don't think that they're a team that should be in a position to go after like a veteran quarterback. I think that this spells you're doing something at number 11 overall at the 2024 NFL draft, whether that's using that pick to select a quarterback like JJ McCarthy or somebody that falls to that spot, or you package that along with a few other things to vault up possibly to number 3 overall with the New England Patriots or number 2 with the Washington Commanders to get one of those top 3 guys, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, one of those two if we assume that Caleb Williams is going to be the number 1 overall pick. That's the route I think that Minnesota goes down. You could, I guess, in theory, sign, I don't know, Jacoby Brissett or, you know, one of these Sam Darnold, one of these veterans that could hold down the fort over the next few years or even next few games in 2024. But to me, this if you're going to let Kirk Cousins go and you have a top, you know, borderline top 10 pick, I think that just points all signs that you're going to use it on a quarterback. I think that's the route you go down. You develop a guy that you feel like you can build your future around. And that's that. Whether that means it's a down year relatively in 2024 as you build this quarterback up. But I think that's probably the most practical approach for them.
I think the one thing with the Vikings, though, is that you have to think you have to get a top 3 quarterback. So obviously they can't sit at 11 because I don't think one of the top 3 quarterbacks will fall in their lap. And trading up could be difficult, especially if you're trying to get into the top 5. You could be competing with other teams who are trying to trade up. We could see the Raiders try and make a trade up because they right now need a quarterback. Although that could change because somebody here could trade for Justin Fields. We don't know. I don't think Ryan Tannehill would be a horrible kind of stopgap quarterback for the Vikings. I guess kind of like the Coles version of Kirk Cousins, not necessarily the bargain bin Kirk Cousins, but he's a smart veteran. I think he'd get along with Kevin O'Connell. And then you make him the bridge quarterback. You say, Kirk or Ryan, we are out here looking for our next quarterback. If he falls to us in the draft, we are going to take him. If he doesn't, then we'll take a guy next year. But you're not going to be here forever, 1 or 2 years at most. But we'll let you start. All right, let's move to another team, to the other side of the ball. Let's get to some defense right now. Christian Wilkins signed a monster deal with the Las Vegas Raiders, 4 years, $110 million. The Dolphins lose their star defensive tackle, but my goodness, Tyler, the Raiders defensive line is now stacked. What do you think of this move?
Well, that's it, right? I mean, just thinking about Wilkins and Max Crosby along that defensive line, I'm so excited to see that unfold because it's going to result in a career year for one of these guys, right? Like it feels like if Christian Wilkins is going to garner a ton of attention, that's going to free up Max Crosby to rack up the stats. If Max Crosby is garnering most of that attention, well, then Wilkins is going to eat. It's just going to be a phenomenal defensive line to watch. And if you are Justin Herbert, if you're Patrick Mahomes, if you're any one of these quarterbacks in that division or on this schedule for the Raiders, it's going to make life extremely difficult. Now, obviously, it's tough to say, you know, oh, Las Vegas is nipping at the heels of Kansas City, or can they dethrone the Chiefs or anything like that? That's a silly argument to make, obviously, with a defensive signing. But this is one way to at least put a dent in the Chiefs, put a dent in the Chargers, where you have this huge discrepancy in quarterback play from what you have at the moment into what they have, two of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. So if you can at least somewhat put a dent in that, I think it's a great thing. And it doesn't surprise me that with a head coach, Antonio Pierce, that they went and sent a big bag on the defensive side of the ball. They're trying to create that identity that we saw at the tail end of last year. And I think that Wilkins fits that in spades.
Yeah, and you have to be able to get after the quarterback, as you said, in the AFC West. We saw Wilkins finish with 9 sacks in 2023, which is a solid number for a defensive tackle. Max Crosby with 14.5 sacks last season. And one thing is that these guys play through anything. This is a good stat here from Nate Tice. There were only 7 defensive linemen in the entire NFL that played at least 850 snaps in 2023. Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins were 2 of those 7. They have both played in all 17 games over the past 3 seasons. And that's what you want. When you have guys who are out there for every single snap, that's tough on the offensive line to have to put up with somebody who bullies you like Max Crosby and somebody like Christian Wilkins who just knock you over. So yeah, this Raiders defensive front is pretty scary right now. So I really like that move. We'll see. I don't know how I feel about $27.5 million. You think they overpaid, or you think this is just the market doing its job?
I was just going to say it's the market, right? It's just the kind of the going rate for these types of players. And when you can get an elite defensive tackle, I mean, we've seen, you know, what the likes of like Chris Jones can do, or in Aaron Jones. And obviously he's not at that level, but he's not super far off. And when you can have those impact players to couple with a guy like Max Crosby, you're just going to be a nightmare and a pain in the neck for any one of these quarterbacks and these offensive lines on a week-to-week basis.
All right, let's jump ship back to the NFC. We've already covered one bird team. That was the Falcons. We're moving to another bird team because Tyler loves birds. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw Saquon Barkley ditch the New York Giants and say, you know what, I'm going to sign with your biggest rival and face you twice a year. Saquon landing a three-year deal worth $37.75 million. A very good deal for a running back, especially when we saw last year running backs could not get anything in free agency. Solly, how do you feel about Saquon?
Well, I think that's, you know, you just touched on it there, though, but I think that that's kind of the theme of the day here, at least one of the themes. We're going to talk about a lot of running backs already coming off the board after an offseason where it was one of the major storylines where these guys were just not getting paid. No teams really wanted to invest in them. And in an offseason, that's kind of turned on a dime. And starting with Saquon Barkley, probably my favorite signing of the day, just because it's spicy, it's interdivisions, it's rival going to rival. I just think that that's going to be such a fun side story as we go on a week-to-week basis in 2024. Like, that first matchup at MetLife is going to be awesome, right? Like, when he's coming in wearing a Philadelphia Eagles uniform, that is going to be just, you know, a fantastic storyline to follow for us. But from a football standpoint, I kind of have two feelings on it. One, from a on-field standpoint, I think this is a great signing for them. I think that they probably should get away from exposing Jalen Hurts too much in terms of running the football. I know that's a huge part of his game, but if you can limit that as much as possible, I think with a guy like Saquon Barkley, that's going to help this team over the long haul and keep Jalen Hurts fresh as they try to go back to the Super Bowl. And from an off-the-field standpoint, I would love to get your opinion on this too. They lose Jason Kelce. They lose Fletcher Cox. They lose a lot of leadership this offseason. I think Barkley's a great guy that could come in and be a great locker room presence and kind of be one of those leaders, especially in the offensive side of the ball, for this team that just had a huge drain in veteran leadership. Wouldn't he be the perfect guy to kind of take one of those roles?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do need somebody like that in the locker room. And you have two gaping holes. But look, Saquon's been around. He knows the Eagles well because he's played them twice a season since 2018. And the other thing I like, and look, we also saw the Eagles give an extension to Landon Dickerson today, their offensive lineman. So they're saying, hey, look, we didn't get to keep Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox because they decided to retire, but we're going to take care of our guys, Landon Dickerson, and we're going to go out and try and make some big moves here. And that's what they did with Saquon. And the thing I feel like Saquon does over someone like DeAndre Swift, and look, DeAndre Swift rushed for over 1,000 yards last year. He played decently with them, but it felt like their rushing attack kind of slowed down once November hit. And because of that, their offense just completely started to fall apart. And the thing about Saquon is that he gives them kind of that home run ability. I think our research team gave us this excellent number that Saquon Barkley has 23 carries of 30 yards or more since he was drafted. And the Eagles, all of their running backs combined, have 20 runs of 30 yards or more since Saquon was drafted. So Saquon individually has come up with more of these big runs, and those are just such huge things. You get those on your offense, that helps get your offense rolling, and that's really what you want to see. So I really like this move for the Eagles, and as you said, it's spicy. Like, everyone loves spice. This is just a fantastic move. And you know what? If Saquon Barkley runs for 60 yards a game next year in 15 of the games, and he's going to go off for 175 per game against the Giants. That's just what's going to happen. We all know it. All right, let's stay with the running backs. We saw probably the biggest surprise of the day, I would say, is Josh Jacobs to the Packers. What? Sully, it is almost 4:20 p.m. Eastern on Monday. We still don't know what the financials are of this deal, So what do you make of that? And were you surprised that Jacobs decided to sign with Green Bay?
There's a lot to unpack here with the Green Bay Packers, because you see what I said? See what I did there? When you look at this, when I first saw this, wow, wait a minute. You're going to have Josh Jacobs with Aaron Jones? That's a pretty dynamic duo. Then the hours start going and reports come out that they're releasing Aaron Jones because they couldn't come to terms on a contract. He was due about $12 million this upcoming season. It was the final year of his deal. They bring in Josh Jacobs, or at least be able to agree to terms. They cut him loose. And A.J. Dillon is now also a free agent. So you are completely turning your backfield on its head. And I think it's a good signing. I think that you should have as capable of a running game behind Jordan Love as humanly possible. I know that he was so impressive down the stretch last season, and he's, technically, I forget what year technically he's going in. What is it, four or five at this point? But he's still a relatively fresh product, a new product, a second-year quarterback, if you will, a second-year full-time starter. You still need to have a sturdy running game behind him to take the pressure off of him. And I think Josh Jacobs does that. But when you start to say, oh, wow, that was extremely surprising that they bring him in, I don't know how surprising it actually is when you start to unpeel it a little bit. This is a Packers team that over the last calendar year was in on trying to acquire an elite running back. You go back to the summer, they were one of the teams that were trying to pry Jonathan Taylor away from the Indianapolis Colts when he was going through his contract dispute. And you thought at the time, really? You have Aaron Jones? You have A.J. Dillon? Why do you need Jonathan Taylor? But I think that they kind of saw this writing on the wall where maybe they didn't want to sign A.J. Dillon. They don't want to spend $12 million in 2024 on Aaron Jones, who is an aging player. They were going to get after some elite running back, and they ended up finding it in Josh Jacobs. So there were breadcrumbs leading up to this, so it's not too surprising, but still, it's kind of jarring to see how quickly things turned in that backfield.
Yeah, and I think one thing that you kind of hit on is that Aaron Jones is an aging running back. If you look at the big difference between these two guys, it's that, hey, look, Aaron Jones turns 30 in December, so at some point late in the 2024 season, and then you have Josh Jacobs, who is only 26, and he turned 26 on Super Bowl Sunday this year, February 11th. That's a huge difference when you're talking about running backs, when you're talking about tread on the tires and the wear and tear that these running backs have taken. And I think from a talent standpoint and where they are age-wise and how many hits they've taken, it feels like Jacobs is an upgrade. And I think the Packers think that because, as you said, they have been trying to get they've been trying to upgrade at running back. Now, the advantage that Jones had, or even A.J. Dillon, is that they were familiar with Matt LaFleur's offense. But I think Matt LaFleur is kind of handpicking Josh Jacobs, telling him, hey, look, you are a perfect fit for this offense. You are going to crush it here. You are going to put up big numbers in my offense because we're going to run around you because, hey, man, you led the NFL in rushing 2 years ago. So, yeah, Josh Jacobs, interesting signing. I will be surprised if he is getting over $12 million a year. I feel like when the numbers aren't released, it's usually lower than the player would like. So I'll say, we saw Saquon get almost $12.4 million a year, I think the number was. I will say Josh Jacobs comes in at least $1 million per year below that.
And I'll say this, Breach. Yeah, I think it is weird that we haven't seen the numbers, like you're saying. It's a good point to pause and say it with all these contracts. You're going to hear a lot of crazy numbers. More often than not, these are like the first, the most gaudy numbers, the great numbers. But when you start to peel them back, sometimes they're actually not the real numbers. Like, I remember we were doing this with Geno Smith and Daniel Jones a year ago, where it was like, oh, these are crazy contracts. But really, they're like 2 year deals for half that money or 3/4 of that money. So it's kind of a let everything kind of simmer down before you start to really freak out about some of these numbers, except when you hear obviously fully guaranteed. But the one thing that I did want to mention about Josh Jacobs in this Packers backfield is that if you just look at the carries that he could be adopting, and obviously he won't take all of these from Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, but they are leaving 320 carries from 2023 going into 2024. That is what Dillon and Jones accumulated last season. If he even takes 250 of those, 260, 300 would obviously be crazy, but you're talking about a massive, massive workload for Josh Jacobs, which when we start drafting in fantasy football and we start looking at potential rushing leaders for a season long future, the opportunity is going to be there for Josh Jacobs to have a ton of opportunity to pile up these carries and really rack up some yards.
I already got Josh lined up in my fantasy league.
Love it.
Don't give out hot tips right now, Solly. I don't want people in my league might be listening and they might write that down. They might try and steal Josh Jacobs from me. We don't want that. We don't want that. All right. We've got another running back. Man, it was running back central on Monday. It was just like they were so eager to get a deal after last year's free agency just went south for them. DeAndre Swift, I would say this, maybe, you know, you said Josh Jacobs kind of explained why it wasn't a surprise. Maybe this one was the surprise. Also in the NFC North, Swift going to the Bears, 3-year deal worth up to $24 million. What did you think of this signing, Swift ditching Philadelphia and heading to Chicago?
I think the surprising part about it was the aggressiveness on the part of the Chicago Bears. I mean, the reporting around their pursuit of Swift was that he was a top priority, and he was one of the first guys that we heard of to sign. You know, one of the first reports once the clock struck 12 was Swift going to Chicago. And so, you know, I don't know if I, out of all the running back moves today, I think I like this one the least, if I'm being totally honest. I mean, he was playing in front of a unbelievably efficient Eagles offensive line. And kind of, as we were mentioned with Saquon Barkley, that running game kind of faltered down the stretch. I just don't know if Swift is going to be that like bell cow back. I think that it would be, he needs to be more, he's best served to be in somewhat of a rotation, but they do, as we were talking about a little bit, with them set to draft Caleb Williams, they do need to have a stable running game. And if they feel that Swift is that guy, well, then great. It's going to help a rookie quarterback kind of ease his way into the NFL. Fine. I'm a little skeptical that Swift can be that player. But ultimately, if they seem to like the player because of how aggressive they were to at least come to terms with him.
Yeah, and look, the crazy thing about the Bears is I don't think people realize how run-heavy their offense has been over the past few seasons. This is a team that finished second in the NFL in rushing yards last season and actually led the NFL in rushing yards in 2022. So it's literally been the Bears and the Ravens as the top two rushing teams in each of the past two seasons, although the Ravens have an AFC championship to show for it, an MVP quarterback to show for it. The Bears have nothing to show for it. But I do think the point you just made is kind of the key there. The Bears said, all right, we've made up our mind to draft Caleb Williams. What can we do to take pressure off of him? What can we do? Can we get a bell cow running back who we can give the ball to a bunch? We saw DeAndre Swift get more than 200 carries last season in Philadelphia. So look, if the Bears have proved one thing, it's that they know how to run the ball. And if Caleb Williams can play competent football where all the pressure is not on him in his rookie year, because you don't want to do that to a rookie, then this move makes some sense. But I think I'm like you. I'm not sure this was the best signing for the Bears. But you know what? Good for you, Chicago. I am not going to bash anything the Bears do because I feel sorry for him, Tyler.
I mean, listen, they got the number one overall pick. They have a generational quarterback, or at least talent-wise, coming down the pipe. I think we can rib him here a little bit. I think if Caleb Williams is who we all project, the draft expert project, he could be. They'll be fine. We could rib them a little bit on this DeAndre Swift
side. Or the bad luck Bears curse just drills Caleb. What, they have 0 4,000-yard passers in the history of the organization? Man, poor Caleb. All right, let's hit another running back. Tony Pollard to the Tennessee Titans. Pretty similar deal to what DeAndre Swift got. 3 years, $24 million. So Tennessee decided, bye-bye Derrick Henry. Hello, Tony Pollard. What do you think of this move?
Right. I think it's good that we have these back-to-back. Like, which one would you rather? It's relative, you know, from 1,000 feet, it's the same contract. 3 years, $24 million. I would much rather Tony Pollard at this price than I would DeAndre Swift. And again, you're talking about a running back that did play in front of an elite offensive line in Pollard, so it's kind of the similar arguments. I just feel like Pollard's ceiling is a little bit higher than Swift's, and I know that it was a little bit of a disappointing year in 2023, as you know, we were all set for him to take on this added workload minus Ezekiel Elliott and be that bell cow back. Didn't necessarily live up to those expectations, but still, I just think that this is a higher upside move for Tennessee than say Swift is for Chicago. Now, it is interesting because this also has another domino where what happens with Derrick Henry now that it feels like now that chapter is now closed in Tennessee. I'll be interested to see how Pollard does with the Titans. But for me, I'm way more interested in what this means for Derrick Henry, because as we'll talk about a little bit later, I feel like he is kind of a piece for a contender that could very much help them get over the hump.
Yeah, I think this pretty much signs off on the fact that Derrick Henry is gone, will not be returning to Tennessee, which we pretty much already assumed and knew going into free agency. I think this more speaks to what Brian Callahan is going to do with his offense in Tennessee. You have the thunder and lightning kind of combo in the back sometimes with the big bruiser and then kind of the guy who has the moves out of the backfield. Well, Brian Callahan wants lightning and lightning. He wants two running backs who can catch the ball in the backfield, because Derrick Henry is not that type of guy. He had less than 30 receptions last year. Then you have someone like Tony Pollard who had 55 catches last year. You have someone who like Tajay Spears who had 52 catches last year. So I think what we're going to see is an opening up of the Titans offense, and we're going to see Spears and Pollard catch a lot of the passes out of the backfield. And so that kind of saves you in case you don't find the receivers you want. And again, we talked about taking pressure off of Caleb Williams. It takes a little bit of pressure off of Will Levis because he can dump them down on running back screens or just kind of swing it to the running back out of the backfield. So I think this is good for Levis. This is good for the Titans. I'm not sure that I would have paid Pollard $8 million a year after what he did last season, but like you said, he was coming off the broken leg. So maybe he will take a huge jump forward this year. All right. That's it for this segment, but when we come back, we're going to talk about even more deals. And we'll tell you what we're hearing from around the league. So stay tuned.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Tyler, we talked about your favorite topic earlier, which is bird teams. My favorite topic is cat teams. So we are going to start off with a cat team. Jacksonville. What did they do? They signed Gabe Davis to a three-year, $39 million contract. Very, very interesting signing here. What do you make of this?
Yeah, again, a lot of these moves certainly have layers to them, but from Gabe Davis going to Jacksonville, you know, I think that this could be somewhat of an upgrade over Calvin Ridley, who I'm sure we'll talk about, because I just feel like he at this moment is probably a more effective player for what they specifically would want from that position. I think that the Jaguars, when they got Calvin Ridley, were hoping that he was a deep threat for that offense to extend the field for Trevor Lawrence. And it came in spurts, but it never really came to fruition on a consistent basis. I think Gabe Davis is more aligned with what they want there, with Christian Kirk kind of in Zay Jones kind of working that over the middle, Evan Ingram working over the middle at the tight end spot. To me, that makes a little bit more sense. You know, is 3 years, you know, $39 million, kind of a lot of money for Gabe Davis, in my opinion. But ultimately, I do think that he's going to fit that offense a little bit better than Calvin Ridley did.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think I agree with you. Because look, we saw Calvin Ridley. He went over 1,000 yards in Buffalo last season. And I'm not sure that Gabe Davis is going to be able to make up that production. Now, maybe you're going to give that means more targets for Evan Engram, although he already got 143 targets last season. So I'm not sure how much higher you want to go over that number. And it just feels like one of those Christian Kirk signing, which we saw Jacksonville do a couple years ago, where I think he is going to be productive in Jacksonville, but I don't think he's going to be great. I think we'll see a couple 700-yard seasons or 800-yard seasons, and then Jacksonville will have to decide, okay, we're only paying him $13 million a year. Is this worth it? I don't think you're going to see a breakout 1,400-yard season with Gabe Davis, although, as we've seen, he is great in spurts. We've seen him explode with some huge games in Buffalo, and Jacksonville would actually absolutely love that if he were to do that with the Jags. All right, let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. We know that Danielle Hunter likely will not be re-signing with the Vikings, and Minnesota said, hey, look, we got to replace him. So who do they call? Jonathan Greenard. Give him a four-year deal worth $76 million. How do you feel about this one, Solly?
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway is that Hunter's as good as gone. It's a changing of the guard in Minnesota when you talk about Hunter, when you talk about Cousins. They're getting younger at that position. The only thing that I would be a little bit weary about, and this is just kind of a general rule of thumb with when it comes to all of free agency, proceed with caution when you get the guy, when you sign the guy that had his career year in his contract year. 12 and a half sacks last year was a real force for the Texans and a big piece to why they were able to make the playoffs and win that division. But I just always have a little bit of pause when you see that huge spike coming in a contract year. And now you have to just hope that the player is able to absorb getting paid and continue to have that production going forward. Sometimes it doesn't pan out. It kind of goes back down to what he was before, but he's young enough. He fits a need. I do think it makes sense here from a Viking standpoint.
Yeah, I feel like Greenard is probably somebody most people had maybe never even heard of before this past season because he really didn't do anything his first three seasons. Two of his first 3 years, he had less than two sacks. And as you said, career year in a contract year with 12 and a half sacks. And the other thing that kind of concerns me here is that, look, his head coach is a former defensive coordinator, D'Amico Ryan. So Ryan knows what he's letting walk. If a defensive coach lets a star pass rusher walk, to me, that's a red flag. That's something saying, yeah, we think we can do better or we have something better on our roster. And so I don't know that he's going to be able to live up to the production that Danielle Hunter had. So I think this, from a talent standpoint, might be a step down from Hunter. But when you consider what they're paying Greenard versus what they would have had to pay Hunter, maybe that evens it out. But I'm not sure I love this move. Maybe I'll love this next move. Man, the Eagles were busy today. Not just Saquon, not just re-signing Landon Dickerson. They also, speaking of pass rushers, stole Bryce Huff from the Jets. Three-year, $51 million deal. What do you think, Solly?
I think it's great because of you have to look at the whole circumstance with Philadelphia because they look like they're going to be moving on from Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat over these next couple of months, whether it's at the NFL draft or via trades or something along those lines. The edge rusher position could get real thin there. So if you can get one of the top pass rushers on the market in Bryce Huff, I think you have to do it. 3 years, $51 million. I think that that's a worthwhile endeavor for them because of the state of that position. They could be looking up at training camp if they didn't make this signing without two of their top pass rushers. And we're not even talking about losing a guy like Fletcher Cox as well, obviously, to retirement. So, you know, that to me, out of all of the moves that they've made so far, and like we were saying, they've been busy. I think this was the most important for them because of the position scarcity.
Yeah, and they didn't break the bank. $17 million a year is a pretty solid number. And kind of we talked about Greenard a little bit where Huff had 10 sacks last year. He had a career year. And so, but the Eagles aren't paying him what the Vikings paid Greenard. So this seems more like a, hey, look, we're going to take a flyer here. We think this guy's going to work out. We liked what we saw on film. And as you said, Fletcher Cox is retiring. You need to reload on the defensive line. So I think this makes a lot of sense, especially at the price they got Huff at. So let's move on to the Carolina Panthers. We got Rob Hunt look, some offensive line action. We need to bring up some offensive line talk here. I know you love to talk about the big uglies. Rob Hunt getting a 5-year, $100 million contract from the Carolina Panthers. That man is rich. His bank account, one of the big winners today. Solly, how do you feel about this move?
You talk about the big uglies. I think I'm looking at the elite wide receiver for Bryce Young, right? Rob Hunt has been a go-to wide receiver in Miami over the last few years. But no, I think that this is, again, an important move for Carolina. You look at that offensive line last year for Bryce Young, which was just, again, a tough year for him as the number one overall pick, not only not living up to expectations, but CJ Stroud at number two overall having the season that he did. It was just a bad year all around for Carolina. Sacked 62 times. You needed to solidify the offensive line to have any shot of Bryce Young living up to his potential. And this is a step in doing that. And so I'm encouraged that they're willing to throw $100 million at a problem that was so apparent last season. It just remains to be seen how well Bryce Young is going to be able to perform the next season.
Yeah, that includes $63 million in guaranteed money. I think the other thing that's good about Robert Hunt, especially if you're the Panthers, is that he's versatile. He's shown that he can play almost anywhere on the offensive line. And when you're a team like the Panthers, where you have holes everywhere, you kind of can just say, all right, well, we have this kind of Swiss Army knife who, if we need him at right tackle, he can do that. We need him at right guard, we'll put him over at right guard. So, I like this signing. It is a lot of money for a guy who is primarily a guard, but look, you got to do whatever you can to help Bryce Young. You got to know if he's your quarterback in the future. And if you're going to help your quarterback, you got to protect him. So this I like for the Panthers. Let's talk about another offensive lineman, Jonah Jackson, heading to Los Angeles, signing with the Rams, 3 years, $52 million. The Rams spending big on the offensive line, Tyler. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, this comes off the heels of them signing Kevin Dotson as well. So, you know, they're making it a point to, similar to what we were just talking about with the Carolina Panthers, build a wall in front of Matthew Stafford, which it's a different type of discussion, but it still makes a ton of sense in the world. Stafford, not the healthiest guy. He plays through a lot of injuries, but he's dealt with some significant injuries throughout his career. He's going to be 36 years old next. You know, this is his age 36 season coming up in 2024. One wrong hit and this and that entire season goes awry. And they've been able to draft really well. The Rams have, obviously, with Puka Nacua last year. They still have Cooper Kupp. They have weapons for Matthew Stafford to really put up numbers and to compete in that division and to compete in the NFC. But if he doesn't have time, if he's injured, if he's hobbled, then you can just throw it all out. It's a wash for Sean McVay and all of them. So makes all the sense in the world that you have a 36-year-old quarterback and you want to invest in the offensive line. It's kind of the both ends of the spectrum. You do it when they're young. You do it when they're old. You should do it throughout their entire career. But those two periods when you have those quarterbacks are the time, to me, where you invest in that offensive line.
Yeah, and the other thing I love about this is that Jonah Jackson, he's coming from Detroit. So he's going from playing with Jared Goff to playing with Matthew Stafford. That should be a fun conversation for him in the locker room. Be like, yeah, guys, I ditched Goff. Sorry that we beat you in the playoffs. But yeah, I think the Rams were probably a little bit ahead of where they thought they were going to be in 2023, but the rookies just panned out so much. And now they realize, all right, we have a playoff team. We need to beef things up and become a Super Bowl contender. And these are the kind of moves that are going to get you there. And so, like you said, they did give Kevin Dotson a pretty healthy contract earlier this week. So that's he got 3 years, $48 million. Jackson got 3 years, $52 million. So that's $100 million for two offensive linemen. When we saw the Panthers pay $100 million for one offensive lineman. All right, we're going to take another break. But after that, we'll decide which pending deals need to get done. So stay tuned.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account. Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Sully, now we're going to talk about deals that have to happen. These are the deals you'd like to see, and then the deals that absolutely need to get done. You sign somebody big, that can change your franchise. We've seen it. Brian Diardo wrote a great piece ranking the top 10 free agent signings of all time. Did that over the weekend. We saw Reggie Wade on the list. You sign someone like Tom Brady, you go out and win a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, huge in Denver. So a great free agent signing can really change the course of your franchise. All right. This deals that have to happen segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Sully, what's your deal that has to happen?
The one that I've been rooting for since the trade deadline this past season. It's Derrick Henry being in the same backfield as Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens. That I just need to see it. We talked about like thunder and lightning. This would be just the perfect storm of a running game for the Baltimore Ravens. If you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, he's the running back that, you know, the only running back it feels like that hasn't signed today. I mean, all the dominoes at that position are falling except for Derrick Henry. I just feel like that would make the most sense for him. It made sense at the deadline as a potential trade suitor. I think it makes the most sense now as a possible free agent destination. Now that Tony Pollard's in Tennessee, it feels like that road home is no longer there. I just think that the Ravens have been starving for a running back. Obviously, injuries have really hurt them over the last few years. And they've still been able to get production out of guys, whether it's, you know, Gus Edwards or go down the list. But if you can add a guy like Derrick Henry, who has just been so durable, so physical to that backfield with Lamar Jackson kind of having that lightning aspect, I think the sky's the limit for that rushing game. And I think that would be just a phenomenal piece to that offense that could help them come the postseason.
And that became even more of a realistic of a possibility because we saw while we were recording that Gus Edwards is leaving Baltimore and he is set to sign with the Los Angeles Chargers. So your fantasy might come true, Tyler.
Harbaugh.
I'm going to cheat a little here. I'm not going to do a deal. I'm going to do a trade. I'm going to say Justin Fields to the Raiders. Look, I don't want to. I'm not the Bears general manager. I'm not going to tell Ryan Poles what to do. But man, you are running out of people to trade with. We already saw Kirk Cousins land in Atlanta. There is just not a ton of options. And if I'm the Raiders, why not call up and get Justin Fields? You want Aiden O'Connell or do you want, look, you just hired Luke Getsy. You just hired Fields' former offensive coordinator. He already knows the offense. There's nothing new to learn. You basically have him on a 1-year prove it contract. And if you want him on a 2 years, then you pick up his 5th year option. So it's not going to be a deal that costs you a ton of money. And based on how the QB market is going right now, I don't think the Raiders would have to give up a ton of compensation to get him. So I think Fields would now make a lot of sense in Las Vegas. What do you think, Sully?
I love that. I mean, you know, he's somebody that I, like you're saying, you know, you're playing this game of musical chairs. If you're the Bears and the music's stopping and there's people jumping in chairs, you know, you can't go to Atlanta anymore. There's, you know, the Steelers have Russell Wilson. I don't know if, you know, you look at the teams at the top of the draft, like I don't think the Patriots, if, you know, I guess maybe they could, if they want to draft a tackle or Marvin Harrison Jr., but they could go quarterback at number 3. The Commanders could go quarterback at number 2. Those don't seem like destinations. So if you're the Bears, you want to start this train now. And if you're the Raiders, yeah, you need a quarterback to compete in that division, someone who has a high upside in Fields. And, you know, we mentioned it earlier, you lost Josh Jacobs in free agency. He's someone that could help cushion that blow, too, in the running game.
Absolutely. All right. This Deals That Have to Happen segment has been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. All right, Solly, here we go. We're going to go fast through our final segment, Best of the Rest. Look, there were a bunch of deals made over the weekend. There were a couple trades. Teams were resigning their own players before free agency even started because they're allowed to. Let's see. Big deal, medium deal, or rough deal? That is what you are going to tell me as we go down this list. Russell Wilson to the Steelers.
I think that's a medium deal. I think people are going to say it's a big deal because of the name Russell Wilson, but I think it's a medium impact deal, if that makes any sense. I don't know how much that's going to really move the needle and change things in Pittsburgh going from Kenny Pickett to Russell Wilson. I think that you're kind of still in that same spot where you're kind of middling in a division that has Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson.
Tyler, I'm going to say it's a big deal. I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to say that if you're the Steelers and you just got your possible starting quarterback under contract for $1.21 million, that feels like a huge deal. Now, does that blow up in your face if Russell looks like Denver Russell? Yes, absolutely. But for now, I think this is huge because I do think Wilson is an upgrade over Kenny Pickett, even though he hasn't been playing, Wilson hasn't been playing great football. But he's got that early Seattle stuff here with a great defensive Pittsburgh and a strong rushing attack behind him. All right, Baker Mayfield getting a three-year deal worth up to $115 million, $50 million guaranteed. Big deal, medium deal, or rough deal?
I think big deal, and it's only gotten bigger now that Atlanta has signed Kirk Cousins. The fact that they were able to retain Baker Mayfield still keeps the Buccaneers competitive in the NFC South. He was superb last year. And not only were they able to retain him, but they obviously retained Mike Evans. So you're kind of bringing the band back together. You're going to be under a new OC. But I think that them being able to keep Baker Mayfield going into his second year in that system should make them more competitive overall in that division.
I agree with you. Big deal. And you know what? I like that there's kind of an out in this contract. The $50 million guaranteed means that if Baker isn't great in 2024, you can move on having paid him $50 million, which is not a horrible number for a start. I mean, you don't want to be in that situation where that's the case, but it's not a Russell Wilson situation where, you know, you have an $85 million dead cap and you're paying him $39 million not to pay for you, play for you. All right, next up, Chris Jones getting a huge contract, five-year deal with $95 million fully guaranteed. Big deal, medium, or rough.
Can we go higher than big deal? Can we say monster deal? Because yes. I think that this warrants it. Chris Jones, one of the best defensive players in the NFL. I was a little nervous that the Chiefs might lose him just because they might not have the financial constraints to keep him, but they somehow pulled, you know, over $100 million out of the purse and were able to keep him. And you know, he has been such a fixture for this team over the last few years and during these Super Bowl runs. You know, he does get a lot of pump. He does get a lot of, you know, credit for what this team has been able to do over the last few years. But I still almost feel like he's underrated when we talk about all of these pieces with Kansas City. And that happens when you have guys like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on the roster. But he's right there in terms of importance to this franchise for what he's able to do on that defensive side of the ball. You look at those Super Bowls, those Super Bowl victories, he is a huge piece to all of them and why they were able to win.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their whole entire 2023 season, the defense carried them in spurts, which you don't usually see in Kansas City. So yeah, I agree with you, big deal. All right, Landon Dickerson gets re-signed. I mentioned his name a couple times when we talk about Saquon Barkley. Four-year, $84 million deal, big, medium, or rough?
I would say big deal. You lose a guy like Jason Kelce. You're starred for continuity along that offensive line. Landon Dickerson gives you that.
Yep, I would agree with that. Michael Pittman. We saw a franchise tag. We saw T. Higgins request a trade. My God, T, just stay in Cincinnati. Don't start drama. And then we saw another franchise tag receiver, Michael Pittman, gets a long-term deal done. 3 years, $71.5 million. Big, medium, or rough?
I think it's a big deal because you have a young quarterback in Anthony Richardson who needs go-to targets. Michael Pittman can be that go-to target for him.
Yeah, I don't think the Colts really had to break the bank just under $24 million a year for a player they were had franchise tagged at 21.8. So I think that's even good at money for both sides. All right, Cleveland Browns trading for Jerry Jeudy, sending a fifth and sixth round pick to Denver. We are making not the Broncos side, the Browns side here. Big, medium, or rough?
Brown side, I would say medium deal, great value to get a player for, you know, a couple of day three picks. But I do think that you still have to pay him, right? Like, it's, he's going into the final year of his deal. He's someone that you still might have to pay substantially if he has as good of a season as you hope he could. So it's kind of somewhere in the middle for that, for me.
Yeah, I think this feels like a medium deal also. This wasn't a home run deal, I'm sure maybe Browns fans wanted, but Jerry Jeudy's still a known commodity. He's pretty good. And if he has chemistry with Deshaun Watson, he put up some big numbers in 2024. All right, let's talk about your favorite player in the entire history of the NFL, your neck of the woods with your Patriots banners back there. Unfortunately, Mac Jones did not add to your collection. He is traded to Jacksonville for a jar of beach sand, aka sixth round pick. How do you feel about that from both sides?
It's a rough deal for up here in New England. I mean, obviously, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you hope that he becomes that transcendent franchise altering player. For a minute, it looked like he could be. Going to the playoffs in his first year, showed some promise, made the Pro Bowl kind of as a technicality with dropouts. But when you bring in a guy like Matt Patricia and Joe Judge to run your offense, it cratered any shot of that kid being a successful quarterback in New England. So it's just a rough situation all around. I think it's good to kind of clear the way for the Patriots to draft a quarterback at number three. You don't have the former first round pick sticking around. And from a Jaguars standpoint, I actually don't mind it. I don't want to go to the, you know, medium deal. It's somewhere in between medium and rough. But Trevor Lawrence, it kind of feels like he gets banged up every once in a while and he kind of plays through these injuries. So to have a guy like Mac Jones behind him, I actually do think will help this team in the event that he is a little dinged up going down the stretch or at some points during the season. And you could conceivably start Mac Jones for a week, let Trevor Lawrence get 100% healthy, and you could still go on your way of trying to contend in the AFC South.
I would just like to note two things real quick. The Josh Jacobs numbers are out via Tom Pelissero from NFL Media. 4 years, $48 million, so $12 million a year. Under Saquon Barkley, but not quite $1 million under per year like I thought it might. And then the Raiders just out here crushing my Justin Fields trade prediction or trade hopes by signing Gardner Minshew to a 2-year deal. I mean, Gardner Minshew, I'm the president of the Gardner Minshew fan club, so I am okay that if my prediction is going to be dashed by someone, I would love that it's dashed by Gardner Minshew. I'm completely okay with this.
It's good that we were talking about the Patriots right when the Gardner Minshew news came in, because he was like you, I'm a huge Gardner Minshew fan. I would have loved a scenario if the Patriots did not love a quarterback at number three, whichever one fell to them. I would have been A-okay if they signed Minshew as their bridge quarterback. They draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and they kind of pick their spot at quarterback down the, you know, over the next few years. I would have been A-okay with that. I've told all of my buddies that in all of these, you know, Patriot fan group chats that I'm in with all of them. They look at me like I'm crazy and then I'm growing a mullet, even though I can't. But ultimately, that would have been nice for the Patriots. But I do think that this is a good move for the Raiders as well. I think that they could still draft a quarterback, but also have somebody that can compete with Aiden O'Connell and be a serviceable quarterback over the next few years.
All right, let's get back to our game. A big deal, medium deal, or rough deal. And we're going to the Lions re-signing Graham Glasgow to a 3-year, $20 million deal.
Medium, sure, fine. So, you know, keep some continuity along your offensive line. I don't have a problem with that.
And the Lions had one of the better offensive lines in the NFL last year. We just talked about how they let Jonah Jackson walk. You can't let everyone walk. You got to keep someone, and they're keeping Graham Glasgow. How about Kevin Byard to the Bears?
Yeah, I like this one. I think it's medium, but like on a higher end. I mean, not too long ago, we're talking about Byard as one of the top safeties in the NFL. Chicago has a ton of needs. Obviously, they were the worst team in the league last year. If you can help solidify that defense for Matt Eberflus, I'm totally fine with that.
I'm going to say big, not in the sense that this is a 4-year, $100 million signing, that the Bears got a talented player at almost a bargain basement price of $7.5 million a year. So I like that a lot. All right, Patriots, once again, your boys in New England. Kendrick Bourne, 3 years, $33 million. Tyler, are you salty about that, or is this good?
A little bit. I'm kind of on the rougher deal end of this one, just because I don't know what the market really was for Kendrick Bourne. He was stating previously that he wanted to stay with the Patriots. And I just don't know if this is a guy on day one of the legal tampering period, free agency under, no, you know, really. 3 years, $33 million for a guy that's coming off a torn ACL. I like the player when he's healthy. I thought that he was I thought he was their best receiver, to be perfectly frank, when he was healthy. But I just don't know if that was the number one priority that they should be going after on day one of free agency. I think that they could have gone elsewhere and still would have had Kendrick Bourne available to them. I just don't know who else was vying for his services on day one. I feel like you could have gone elsewhere to start.
Tyler, they could have used that money on Gardner Minshew.
It's what I'm saying, Breach. It's what I'm saying.
Hey, just pay the man. My goodness.
It's just money.
All right, Jonnu Smith to the Dolphins, 2 years, $8.5 million.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, rough deal, medium deal. It's again in that like in between spot. I don't think that the Dolphins under Mike McDaniel really use tight ends all that much in their offense. I mean, that was why they were okay with letting Mike Gesicki go a couple of years or you know last offseason. So you know, and Jonnu Smith better under Arthur Smith than anywhere else. Obviously, I saw him up close here in New England. So just kind of a medium to rough deal. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on the Dolphins.
I'm going to do medium just because I feel like Mike McDaniel kind of sat down at the end of the season and was like, you know what, maybe I do need a tight end at times in my offense. And maybe I didn't appreciate having Mike Gesicki and just for whatever reason, McDaniel is not someone who utilizes tight ends. And I think we will see them used a little more now that Jonnu Smith's on the roster. All right. The Packers release David Bakhtiari. What do you think?
I mean, how like, are we just going to start the timer for when he becomes a New York Jet? Like, let's just see him at a Grand Central Station. Let's see him at Newark. Let's see him at JFK. It just feels like that certain.
He won't be at JFK. Aaron Rodgers sent him a private jet to come over to New York.
He's not flying economy with the rest of us. Like he's not doing that.
No, if you're friends with Aaron Rodgers, you only fly private, Tyler.
Can you imagine him flying economy? I was flying economy in Europe, and it was tight. And I'm a small dude. Imagine being an NFL tackle. I don't know if that's really the.
Did you sleep on the flight over?
I slept on the flight over because it was basically a red eye. But then we had a 7-hour flight home, and it was basically I'm still out of whack with between the 7-hour time change breach, daylight savings. I barely know what time it is, and plus my office at home is basically a casino. There's like no walls, there's no view to the outside world. So I'm in like my Willy Wonka chocolate factory down here. I don't know what's going on.
Wait, so did you get back Sunday night or early Monday or
no?
Saturday?
It was Saturday. My time, but Sunday.
Okay, got it.
Their time. It was like basically like 3 a.m. when I got home in my internal clock.
Okay.
But it was whatever that is minus 7 hours. It was bizarre.
You're like, I can't go to bed yet. I got to stay up. All right. Last one. T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals. T, what are you doing? Request a trade. What do you make of this?
No, let's hear you. You're the Bengals guy, Breach. Like, how do we feel?
Well, look. Adam Schefter reported that the Bengals haven't even tried to negotiate with him for a year. So I get why T. Higgins is upset. It absolutely makes sense. But look, T, I'm going to just tell you something. The Bengals are not going to trade you unless they get at least a first-round pick. The Bengals do not give in to trade demands. You do not want to play chicken with the Bengals. You do not want to play chicken with Mike Brown. We saw Carson Palmer almost was forced into retirement because the Bengals refused to trade him. We saw this with Carlos Dunlap. We've seen this with Jesse Bates didn't demand a trade like this, but his situation didn't get any better after he got franchise tagged. You just don't have a choice. But guess what? You did get franchise tagged, so if you can talk a team into signing you to a deal the Bengals won't match, then you can leave Cincinnati. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I think T will end up playing the 2024 season on the franchise tag in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it didn't happen with Jonah Williams too, like to some degree, like he wanted out too as well because he was getting switched from right tackle to left tackle. So like, you know, it does feel like this happens a lot in Cincinnati, but I do think that there is a possibility that the Bengals do trade him because of the circumstances outside of Cincinnati. We saw a lot of these elite wide receivers not get to market, signing deals with their teams or being franchise tagged. If this is the one that's available, I kind of could see these wide receiver needy teams upping their trade offers a little bit more than maybe they'd be accustomed to because of the lack of talent that was in the free agent market.
Right, and that's I agree with that sentiment in the sense that as long as someone throws a first-round pick in the deal, I think the Bengals will be open to it. But I do not think they will trade him for less than that. So someone's going to have to pay a hefty price if they do want T. Higgins. Tyler, that is the end of our show. What a fun time we had together, a full hour. Make sure to join us tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll be here all week to talk free agency. Remember to like, remember to comment, make sure to subscribe. You get me and Tyler together. Who doesn't love that? Go to our YouTube page and subscribe. For everyone listening to the audio-only version, make sure you download, follow, and leave a 5-star review telling us how awesome me and Tyler are, and then they'll give us more shows. And tell your friends to listen and watch. All right, we will see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. See you guys.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!